pam 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 pam. Hello everyone, welcome to Hack the Dino Gaming Cast, where we bring you the past, present, and future of video games news, previews, and discussions. I'm the uncanny X-Ben, and I'm joined by... Yes. Thank you.
That's actually good.
And I am joined here on the Gaming Cast by my X-Man in crime, Floppy Starrick.
I mean, why don't I get a cool X-Men name?
The Triple X-Man, Floppy Starrick.
Hello, everyone.
You know it's true. And...
I'll leave with that.
By the X Factor, Braden Dixon.
That's definitely one of the other teams.
Yeah.
Yep.
I was going to say X Force.
Yeah.
Or Gen X. Gen X, no.
Gen X, no.
No.
I was going to say it's Morph Them time.
Well.
No.
Before we get started, though, X-Men 97. Holy crap, how amazing is that? Like... I watched it when it launched. So I watched X-Men, the original X-Men animated cartoon, and that cartoon's what got me into comics.
Same. I was reading comics, but then watched that at the same time.
Yeah. No, I was watching this cartoon and then got into comics because another friend of mine was doing the same thing. And holy smokes, sitting back watching those episodes these past 2 weeks, I have not had a larger grin on my face for the whole entire time. Like, absolutely amazing. The fact that they redid the intro.
But isn't it the same up to a certain point and then changes?
Well, it changes each episode.
Oh, I only watched the first episode.
But the fact that they kept the style and the setting the same, and then added in not only they redid sort of scenes from the old cartoon, but from storylines that happened in the comics but haven't happened in the cartoon. Right, so storylines from that era. So this was my X-Men. This was my team.
Yeah, me too. This was my X-Men. This was my Jim Lee. But yeah.
And the fact that they've just carried on with it, they've been so faithful to the story. Like, they did the Inferno storyline in one episode. I mean, all right, there were some leaps of logic there, but yeah, it's a cartoon. Calm down. But just the amount of characterization in it.
Is there only two episodes out so far?
No, it's three.
Oh, fuck, I've only watched one.
They were talking about, I was talking in our Discord, which you can head on over to our Discord and join for free over at hackthedino.com. But in our Discord, I was talking with Dust Valbid about it, who's a similar age to me. And he goes, I haven't found Morph incredibly annoying this episode. And I just said, yes, because he only laughed once.
Is it weird that I miss old Morph?
Really?
Yeah.
Well, he's still there. He just that's how Morph actually looked in the comics.
Mm.
They made him human for whatever reason. But I really like
Morph. More relatable.
No, I think he's very relatable now. Anyway, Braden, what do you think of X-Men?
I've been watching the original series.
What do you think of that?
With everyone talking about the new series and me really, really, really wanting to watch the new series, I was like, I'm not gonna just cheat and jump straight ahead. So I have watched the entire first season. And
you're
I'm
all fools.
Halfway through the second season. There's apparently four good ones.
Yeah, you don't need to worry about season five. It's rubbish. You need to worry about the last episode of series five.
Yeah, so I'm going to do that.
Forget about it.
I'm going to do that. I'm going to watch all four seasons, watch the final episode of season five, and then start the new one.
What I love about this series as well.
It's good.
Magneto's so dramatic. Everything he says is so Shakespearean and dramatic. I love it.
They've done such a... Like, it's very... I follow a bunch of artists who, the second this got announced that they were doing it,
yep,
they all got to reveal that they're working on it. And so a bunch of artists that I follow have just been, like, so passionate. And they're just the biggest fans. And you can really just, like, tell in everything they do. It's awesome.
It's such a good... Anyway, we're a video game podcast.
I grew up with watching it as well with Ben. Like, Ben, watching this, reading all the comics... I watched the first episode. It's all right. Oh. I actually, like, no, like, legit. Like, I'm like...
Watch the second one.
Yeah, I will. But I was...
And watch the third one.
I was legitimately underwhelmed. I was underwhelmed. I'm like, 30 years, can't wait. This is going to be great. I'm like, it doesn't look as good.
Yeah.
It doesn't move as well-paced.
Ah. Oh.
Mm.
I think...
But I will watch it. I will watch it all. But I can't... Oh, I hope my mate Jamie... has been on me for a week, every day asking if I've watched it. And I have not told him what I've thought, so if he watched this, he's going to get angry at me.
So the second episode, Magneto's in it.
I don't like Magneto.
Oh, really?
Nah. I don't like what he looks like.
That's his classic.
That's one of the classic. It's one of the classic looks.
It's ridiculous. I freaking love
it. It looks shit.
He wears like gloves up to here.
I know.
A purple jumpsuit.
Oh,
it's fantastic.
I don't like it.
And he talks so seriously like this all the time.
But I will watch all of it because I love X-Men. But yeah, I was incredibly underwhelmed.
Yeah, right.
Mm.
That's a pity.
It is.
I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. Best thing ever.
I legitimately thought I was going to, which is probably why it hit a little bit harder, because I was expecting to be blown away.
Yeah, see, I went in just going, oh yeah, let's see what it's like. And then when the title started, I just went,
oh, that made me go like, oh God, the title. And then I was like, oh my God, I have so much nostalgia flowing
back. I used to watch these over and over and over and over.
I had them
taped.
Yeah. I had them on VHS taped.
And I like how
out of order too.
They've sort of pulled Wolverine back as well.
Yeah.
And Cyclops finally getting his props. Cyclops has always been a good character, but not many people know how to write him because they just sort of write him like this
Boy Scout.
They
write him like a Boy Scout, yeah.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, he is, but...
He is, but
he can also hold his own.
Like,
a lot.
In that first episode.
When he takes his glasses off. Or when they take his glasses off.
Well, they had their classic knot line.
Yeah.
So that was from the original series as well. Mm. Anyway, we're a video game podcast. We're here to talk about video games.
Yeah, X-Men video games.
Floppy, what have you been playing?
I've been playing quite a bit, actually, now that I'm back in the swing of gaming and stuff like that. So I always have generally three games on the go. I have a portable game, which I play at work. Like I talked about on one of the last shows with my Nitro deck that I'm loving now. I have a game that's safe to play around my kids, and I have a game that's not safe to play around my kids. So portably, I've been playing Metroid Prime Remastered on my Switch.
Good game.
I had never played the original, even though I do own it on the GameCube. And is it down here? Did I bring it?
I don't know.
I think it's over here somewhere, possibly. Maybe I didn't bring it. This is awesome. I was really surprised at how well they've translated that sort of 2D Metroidvania style of, you know, going back and revisiting, and how well it's translated to the 3D.
Mm-hmm.
I have reclaimed my missiles. Is it Morph Ball? Is that what it's called?
Yep.
And the Morph Ball bomb.
Yep.
And I'm a little bit stuck. So I've got to retrace my steps and find where... I'm sure there's like a Morph Ball bomb wall or something that I've missed. But I'm really, really enjoying it. Like I was nervous as to how the whole 2D thing... Because you know how much I dug Metroid Dread.
Mm-hmm.
How well that would translate to 3D. And I think it translated really, really well.
It's like the Super Mario Brothers and Mario 64.
Yeah, like, was everyone worried about how it would translate to 3D?
Well, no, because when Mario 64 was released, it all caught us by surprise.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't expect it all, because that was the very first game to be 3D.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm loving it. I'm really enjoying it. I am looking forward to finishing it. It looks like it's, unless I'm missing something, it's not a terribly long game.
No.
So I feel like I've, I don't even know what that was from. One of the menu things I haven't looked at yet. But yeah, I really like the scanning. I like the lock, and I like it all. I think it's really, 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 really well done. So that's very cool. That's been my portable game. The game that I've been playing around my kids is WWE 2K24. Like Braden suggested, I've been playing my way through the showcases.
Mm-hmm.
I did knock it back at difficulty because it was hard.
You better have fun, dude.
Yeah.
Have fun.
But it's really... they did a great job of splicing between footage leading into you playing these showcases. That's my character. That's me, Floppy the Enabler.
It's so good.
I spent like an hour making some form of resort shirt with patterns.
Needs a bit more grey in that beard, I reckon.
Well, that I didn't have a lot of choice.
Right.
Shut up. I can make me however I want to be. This is how I appear to myself. That's why I'm so muscly in it. But yeah, it is a lot of fun. The whole character creator was really good, and you can pick your persona and all sorts. It was great. I really enjoyed this. And yeah, playing through those showcases is quite cool. I had a quick look at the faction with the card-based stuff, but I don't get it.
Yeah, just avoid it.
I'm just going to keep playing Showcase.
Just keep playing Showcase and your own thing.
Yeah, I haven't done my own thing yet. That was just an intro to say sort of what it looked like and stuff.
But Showcase is really fun.
I get a little bit caught up in just button mashy, and I want to try and get a little bit better so I can actually use certain moves and things, because they just look cool. Like the whole motion, I assume it's all motion capture. I don't really know. They've done a great job.
Yeah.
Like, it looks great. The other game, though, that I've been playing, which I was really excited for, is Rise of the Ronin. Now, I've got to watch what I say because Anto really wants to play this and doesn't want to go in any spoilers. But I wrote down some things because I was...
Why is that man so large?
Oh, he's a big man. This is not... this is well beyond where I've seen, I assume. So I got this the other day and the first... Like, I wasn't even really planning on playing it and I popped it in because, well, I won't lie, I got a code. It was free. And I popped it in and the first thing I did was I really enjoyed, much like the WWE, the character creator in this.
Yeah, right.
And it is really in-depth. So you start off creating two characters and I think it can be male, two female or a male and female because essentially you're twins. You're twins, you are part of a sect of basically rebels rising up against the power that be.
He didn't wipe the blood off his sword, it's going
to
rust.
No, you have a specific button to do that.
Well, you need to, but otherwise it rusts.
Yes, you do. But yeah, so the whole game is based around in I think it was the 19th century in Japan, there is the powers that be, they're not very nice, and you are part of a group that is raised to combat that.
Speaking of which, are you watching Shogun at all?
Oh, I haven't, but I've heard good things.
I've heard it's amazing.
You not watched it either, Braden?
I've not yet.
100% watch it.
Heard it's very good.
It's so addictive, but yes, anyway.
So the group that you're a part of has got a really cool name. It's called the Veiled Edge, which I think is very cool. And you are what's called a Blade Twin.
Do you walk in a room going, on this day,
no,
I see clearly.
No, you do not. I don't understand that.
It's Edge's theme.
Oh, okay. Wrestling. Yes. Yeah. But yeah, character creating is really cool. You go through character, like, you know, facial, body, tattoos. You can create your background, so how you were trained. And there's like, you know, are you a killer? So it's more of a hack and slash sort of God of War style combat. Or were you a breaker, which is more ninjutsu, stealth based sort of stuff. You could be a seducer, so you have better charm and charisma. So you know, voice options and dialogue thing trees are
didn't
different.
Wipe his blade again.
Well, this guy is just really obviously shit at this game. You can be a beginner or an unsharpened, which is like a little jack of all trades and master of none sort of thing. So a little bit of everything. It's really, really in depth when it comes to that, but not overwhelming. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. And then it becomes basically, I think if you want to, the most simplest way to explain it is it's an Assassin's Creed game that I've wanted for ages.
Yeah, right.
Which is in Japan with ninjutsu and samurai and just all that sort of jazz into one. You have areas and missions that you go out and do. You can clean out areas to improve your... he didn't do it again. Now it's all I can see.
Yep.
So you improve your influence in that area. There are different kinds of missions. Anto, if you are listening, I will spoil one thing. There are cats and you have missions to go and pat the cats. You have to go pat cats.
Yes.
Certain amount in each area. But yeah, I'm really enjoying it. It's really easy. You have two main weapons and two sort of long-range weapons, depending on what background you choose for yourself. But it's just, it's solid good. I do not compare it to Ghost of Tsushima. It's a very different game. I know a lot of people in the press and things like that are saying it's like a poor man's Ghost of Tsushima. I'm like, it's not even trying to be that.
Isn't it Souls-like?
It's, well, it is in the fact that if you when you go to a certain areas that you can save, it'll... enemies will come back into areas that you've killed them.
Right.
But you can sort of clear out areas and make them safe and bring the people back to them to like give their villages back and stuff like that.
Okay. But see, yeah. I got to go back and finish Ghost of Tsushima. I got up to an area where one of the enemies bugged out and it was like clear the area of all the enemies and I did and it didn't register. So I couldn't get past it.
No.
And I haven't gone back to it since.
Yeah, I remember you saying about that. But yeah, I'm thoroughly enjoying it and I literally cannot wait to go back and play some more tonight when I get home. It is an Assassin's Creed style game. If you liked Valhalla or some of the bigger ones, I dare say it's going to be along those lines, but a bit simpler in what you achieve. Game Boy Dad says Ghost of Tsushima was a lot more polished and gut-wrenching, whereas this is just fun. That is, yes, 100%. It is fun. Whereas the other one is way more atmospheric, I think you want to go for, and very, yeah, narrative heavy and tugs on all the strings. This is a lot of fun and simple to get the hang of, pretty hard to master. You do things like parries and stuff like that, like a Souls-like game.
Cool.
Is this, who's that giant...
I don't know. That's someone I have not seen yet.
That giant North American... what's that character that they always refer to? Paul Bunyan?
Paul Bunyan, probably.
Is that Paul Bunyan?
Oh, there's one of the things you can do is you can deflect bullets, or like, you know, they have like muskets and stuff. You can deflect their things with your swords, set your blades on fire for a while, and you go back and hack them up with fire blades.
That's
fuck yeah. It's yeah, it's really good. I'm really enjoying it.
Sweet. Well, I just went back to play Mario Brothers Wonder. Good game. Continue. Braden, what have you been playing?
Oh, wow. I was pulling up footage of
Mario Bros.
Don't
even bother.
We've
all heard me rant about how good a game it is.
Let me close that. Well, yeah. this past week, exciting couple things for me. I played, finally, the first three to five hours of Baldur's Gate 3. And by that, I do mean that I installed the game. Because it's so big that when next show, I'll talk about Baldur's Gate 3, but not yet. So instead, I am choosing to opt my time to feature... Did you guys see these trailers this week? Like, Marvel...
I missed this.
Either end of the spectrum for me right now.
Oh, wait. No, I did see this.
So this one is the Captain America Black Panther game that they teased from Amy Hennig's team a while ago.
Not a fan.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I am so all over this.
Yeah, you know, I'm down.
The one thing that made me not a fan is this character, the actor who portrays Captain America here.
Yeah.
Looks like John Walker from...
it does look a bit like
John
Walker.
Just took me out of it. I've never been a Black Panther fan from the comics, and I was never really a Captain American fan from the comics. And unfortunately, because I have those deep-seated prejudices in me from the 90s reading the comics, I just have no interest in playing this game.
Well, I am over the moon, ecstatic, and can't wait for this game.
I am...
Especially because of how freaking good it looks. Look at Kerry Payton's face!
That's pretty
damn
good.
Just him.
Now, that's like, the Black Panther we know from the Marvel Cinematic Universe. That's his grandfather, is that right?
It's like, it's like World War II era, that generation.
Who's
when
making
this
one?
Amy Hennig. Skydance?
Skydance.
Skydance, I think, is the company.
She was the one that was doing the Star Wars one that got canned, wasn't she?
Yeah. She's the person who did a bunch of Uncharted,
Uncharted stuff. Yeah.
But I will just say that canonically, in Marvel history, World War II... Captain America not only teamed up with Black Panther, or a Black Panther, but also one James Howlett, who was
schnickety
Wolverine.
Yeah,
so but, you may see a Wolverine in here.
I'm very excited for this one. It looks fantastic. This was featured at an Unreal showcase that they did.
Yeah, there was no date or anything like that, was there?
I didn't put that in the run sheet, but did you see the new stuff that the new Unreal Engine can do?
It's insane.
Like the creator mode that they've got for Fortnite now?
It's so much more than what it used to be.
It's mind-blowing.
I haven't turned Fortnite on in like a couple of weeks now.
Well, no, this is just an experiment.
Oh, okay.
Like a proof of concept. But like AAA games.
Okay.
And you can just make your own spaceship and it works. And anyway, yeah.
Craziness. And now it's called Marvel 1943, which I think is a fun name, but then they were cowards and gave it a subtitle, which I was disappointed with because 1943 would have just been a great title.
I do like the whole Rise of Hydra, though.
There already is a very popular game called 1943, Braden.
Yeah.
So maybe...
What game's that?
It's called 1943.
It's called 1943.
Really?
Yeah, it came out in the late 80s.
It was okay.
Oh, okay.
Shoot 'em up.
Hey! Hey!
Okay.
Hey!
I'm sure that's really going to impact their SEO.
Well, it might. It was a very popular game.
And then, like yesterday or something, they revealed this, and this is weird.
Oh, is this the... Yeah,
I'm not a fan.
It's the Overwatch-y style Marvel game.
Yeah, it's a mobile game, isn't it?
I think the strongest thing going for it is its art style, but like, I have no interest in playing this.
Is it a mobile game?
It's NetEase, the developers, have famously worked on mobile games before. So
I was going to say, because
it's 100% a mobile game.
Like, it's going to be available on
mobile. It looks like a mobile game.
But, like, the most compelling part of it to me is they got Liam O'Brien to come in and do the voice of Doctor Strange, which I noticed the second the trailer started and he spoke. So good for him. Glad he got a paycheck. And then, like, the art style, I think, is quirky. It's very much going for, like, at your anime style look. The most confusing thing to me is anime waifu Galactus. They show Galactus. Are you ready?
Yes.
It's anime waifu Galactus.
Huh?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know who made that decision.
Okay, so first of all, Galactus can be whatever. It's an entity, can be whatever. Doesn't matter. Why? Traditionally, Galactus, a lot of body armor, because Galactus eats planets, like literally eats planets.
Is in space.
Yeah, kind of.
Matt Townsley said, move over, Bowsette.
What? She can eat my moon.
Jesus. So, yeah. And
that's
then,
weird. That's a choice.
That, like, I feel like this art looks good, but, like...
The art does look good.
I just do not care about it.
No.
So, I don't know who this is for. We'll see if it's any good. I mean,
I think Galactus tells
alpha.
Us who it's for.
Well, I mean, yeah. But, like, yeah, I don't know. It's interesting.
Michael Townsend live chat. Yeah. Galactus.
Galactus, yes.
But if you like that, we won't hold that against you. But you can sound off in our Discord by heading on over to hackthehotdino.com and joining our Discord for free.
Did you say hack the hot dino?
I don't know what I said.
I heard that.
Hackthesexydino.com.
Ben's still thinking of Galactus.
Hackthedino.com, where you can join our Discord. You can also find us on YouTube and on Spotify and all your podcast apps if you don't like to see our voices. Wait, no, that doesn't work. It's... Hackthedino.com. It'll speak for itself. Don't worry
Townsy
about it.
Townsy spanked the dino.
Yeah, don't do that, Townsy. We
nah, I'm all right.
Get flagged for that.
Oh, okay, then don't do that.
Yes, hackthedino.com. Tell your friends. Give us a follow. Give us a like. That's the best way to support us. And if you'd like to support us monetarily, you can certainly do that by heading over to Patreon. Can't guarantee that any of the rewards will be up to date.
Or worth it.
Or worth it. But we appreciate your support anyway.
Our appreciation is genuine.
You know yes. How you can also support us?
How?
It's by coming to the Adelaide Comic and Toy Fair soon.
Oh, yeah. Adelaide Comic and Toy Fair. We're all going to be there. I was just...
Come see our pretty faces in person.
Going through all my stock and all my doubles and labeling, pricing, everything. I don't know if I took... Did I tell the story about the Pokemon cards on the podcast?
Yeah.
I believe so.
Yeah. I got a.
I think twice now.
Basically two sets of the original Pokemon TCG for $100. So I'll be selling that for a lot more than that. A lot more. Anyway, Floppy.
Yes.
You've been doing some selling as well in the
Ooh, aid
of the $20 retro challenge for charity.
So if this is your first time here, of course it's not, but you know, we'll go past it anyway. If it is, apologize, rough start. We are doing the $20 retro challenge for charity. So much like last year, we have started with $20. And each of us, some of us have bought some things already. Some of us haven't. But some of us have bought these things and we're going to sell, trade, or somehow move them, and replace them with other goods and keep this going all year until we get you lovely people to vote on the items that we have found, bought, traded for. And whoever wins gets a trophy.
If I can find one.
Cool.
Won the
trophy.
But the most important thing is that the final sales.
What I was about to get to is, yeah, once you've all voted, we are going to sell the collective items that we have accumulated through the $20 retro challenge. And that money is going to go to Beyond Blue and help out some people in need.
Yeah.
Because that's a cool thing to do.
It is. And help other people get their hands on some retro goodness. Hmm. Now, what's your update, Floppy?
So I did in one fair swoop when you and I went to the markets.
Which you can see over on...
About 2 months ago.
TikTok. At the time of TikTok.
Yep.
It's over there.
I found five out of the six puppets from Pizza Hut for Land Before Time. So all the good crew from Land Before Time. I found all the Pizza Hut puppets from 1986.
Much later than that.
88?
No, I reckon 89, 90.
Anyway, when we were young, and I finally got around to putting them up online, and I ended up selling them in about 3.5 minutes. Legitimately, I posted them, and then my phone started going off. And I'm like, "What the hell is going on?"
Brayden, have you ever seen this film?
I got like,
"Yeah."
Were you traumatized by Sharptooth?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
But not by Littlefoot's mum dying.
No, that's the most traumatizing. Like that, and Optimus Prime dying are the only times I've cried.
Do you remember during the late 90s, everyone had these on their tow balls of their cars?
Yeah. I've still got... Hang on. 2 seconds. I've still got one.
But yeah, I sold mine and I've doubled my money. So I'm now looking for more things, probably at the toy fair, that I can purchase for the retro challenge. And I've got a little bit more money to be able to spend.
Check it out. It's Littlefoot still in his original wrapper.
Doesn't love it. Doesn't care it because he doesn't play with it.
Well, I've got an actual little foot that I had as a kid in there as well.
Okay, greedy.
Yeah, but that was $5. Pretty good.
Nice. But yeah, that's what they are.
Brand new. There you go.
And so yeah, I've managed to move that on. Have you sold anything?
Not since last time. I still can't find that Hercules bag I bought for $2.
I stole it.
It's here somewhere. But no, I've not managed to sell a damn thing. I may have bad taste this time around, or just not been able to find anything that people want. But hopefully at the Adelaide Comic and Toy Fair, doing the sign for the Adelaide Comic and Toy Fair saying retro challenge? Well, we're going to have a table at the front.
Oh,
the $20 retro challenge. We're going to put our retro challenge stuff on there and have a little sign outlining what it is.
I was not aware, but that could have just been me not listening.
So either a floppy Braden or Anto is going to make it.
No, sounds fine. Braden, have you picked anything up yet?
I ain't bought shit.
Yo!
But you bet, Adelaide Comic and Toy Fair, I'm going to be running around like a mad lad trying to make up for my my lack of running around so far. I'm also considering... is this within the rules? Are we considering stuff that we were looking to move on and sell, and rather than taking the money for ourselves... just putting that into the charity?
No.
Otherwise,
it takes away from the challenge and the fun.
It does.
It does, but the charity benefits in the end.
Yeah, that was my thinking. I was like, I don't know where we fall on that.
Like, if you're willing to...
I feel
like
it's going badly.
I feel like you could sell it to one of us.
Oh.
Okay, yeah.
But not to yourself.
Yep, all right. I'll sign on for that one.
Yep. That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. So, yeah, you can sell it to one of... What do you got?
There we go. I've got one of
some shitty game called Chrono Trigger.
No, I've got. I was like, I'm never gonna wear that or display it or anything. I'm gonna put it on for sale. And I looked it up, and it like sells for like over $100 US.
What is this thing?
Before Space Jam 2 came out, and it was not good.
Correct.
Before that, Nike and Jordan released a line of like limited release like stuff, and they had like all different like shirts and shoes and hats and shit, and I bought a hat, and it's like a glow in the dark let me see if I can find
like
a photo
cap?
Actually, yeah.
While you're looking for that, I will say I'm pretty sure Anto is in the same boat as you at the moment, because Anto's obviously been working, and he's also moved house, hence the reason he's sort of not here.
And sick, which is also why.
All at the same time.
Yeah, just getting. He's doing the speed run.
Yeah, he's doing a speed run and collecting everything in one go. Like he does it with all of his games.
Yep.
Gets everything in the first 24 hours.
But he did say that is he platinum Final Fantasy 7-2?
Oh, no, he finished his first run through.
Yeah, right.
Finished his first run. 80, I want to say 80 hours, jumped into my head.
That's a cool hat.
That is odd.
So at one point in the original Space Jam, Bugs Bunny pulls out a Bugs Bunny skull and does Shakespeare with it.
Yeah, like does Hamlet.
Yeah.
Or is it Macbeth?
No, so the front has that and it says, that's all folks. And then on one side it says, kind of one-sided, isn't it? And the other side it says zero. But it's a cool hat. And I was like, oh man.
Brian, I'll give you $2.
Nah.
I'll give you 40.
Ooh. Now we're talking.
Ooh. What are you going to do with it?
I'll sell it for $100. You know, to get, you know, in the good nature of getting him started.
You're a giving person.
That is, I'll give you lots of stuff.
All right, let's have a talk about the old chocolate man. The old
what?
Timothy Chalamet in Wonka? Yes! Finally.
Yeah, finally. So here's our top 10 Timothy Chalamet games. Number 10. No, we're talking about Easter eggs because it's Easter.
Oh, I was really confused as to where you were going with that one.
It is Easter as we are recording this. Good Friday, as some might call it.
It's all right.
Bro Friday, if you ask me.
Don't know what he said either.
That's what I think of people who make that joke. So I have done some digging.
I have that controller.
Five undiscovered video game Easter eggs that are pretty cool for us to talk about and share. What are you showing on screen at the moment?
This is Timothy Chalamet's Xbox controller modding channel.
I'm pretty sure that's not a mod. I'm pretty sure I've got that controller. It was an EB Games exclusive.
Sorry, no. The mod I was thinking of was his handle was Modded Controller 360.
Oh.
And this is a video of
nerd!
Him featuring and reviewing.
Anyway.
Had to pay the bills somehow before June.
So number five of, yeah, let's say the top five coolest undiscovered video game Easter eggs is the crowd chant in Sonic Mania. So Sonic Mania was first announced at Sega's 25th anniversary event for Sonic during the San Diego Comic-Con of that year. Sonic team producer Takahashi Iizuka had the live crowd record a rendition of the iconic
Sega
jingle to be included in the game as an Easter egg. So everyone knew that this was going to happen.
So everyone there?
Yeah,
everyone did they have there. To like sign an NDA or something?
No, no, they just had to go Sega.
Do they know why they were doing it?
Yes, he told them all. Okay. It was going to be an Easter egg that's included in the game. However, players have searched the game for this Easter egg for the last 6 years and not found it. Now, this could be because it's so well hidden and includes such a tedious process to get it that no one's been able to find it, or it just got cut.
You know what? Bet you that motherfucker has just got it as his ringtone. He just did, all he wanted to do was get like a 6,000 people
I like
make
the way
his ringtone.
You've taken it very personally as well. It's very Reddit of you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've thought up something in your head and gone, that's exactly what he's done.
That's
what
exactly
bastard.
What's happened. I know what that's what's happened. What kind of proof do I need? Don't need it.
Don't need it because I feel that it's true.
Imagine if he did do that. If it's just he just did it shits and gigs and now he's got it as his notification tone. Like Sega. Not even his ringtone, just his notification tone.
Yeah, so it's entirely possible it's in the game, but 6 years you'd think that data might like we've got really good data miners nowadays. I'd assume that they'd be able to find it. Be able to get the old Sonic Man out.
Have they ever commented on it again since?
Not that I could find, no.
Surely someone would have asked by now.
You would think so. I'm assuming.
Sonic Mania also got a re-release, like in the Switch and stuff.
Yep.
Is that what this was?
No, it was when they were developing.
No, when was it? Yeah, okay.
Anyway,
interesting.
Second Easter egg.
Anto probably knows where it is.
Well, I was kind of hoping Anto would be here, so stretch that segment a little bit, but no. Second Easter egg. Cyberpunk 2077 and the FF06B5. So unlike other Easter eggs, you can actually see this clearly in the game.
Okay.
So this is on Union Street in Corpo Plaza. Players can find a string of letters and numbers displayed on a robotic statue, which we saw just on the screen then. This is being worshipped by a group of monks at all times.
Oh, okay. So it's very deliberate.
It's very deliberate. It's there for a reason for people to see.
What did that guy look like, a bald Johnny Knoxville?
Well, I think you have your answer. Players have creatively attempted to link the sequence displayed on the robot to basically anything, from coordinates in the world or in the game to even classical music, but to date have only come up empty-handed.
Is this something that the developers have like laid any clues down to and
none
no one's just
all.
Figured it? No,
they've
just
none
they've
not said
nothing?
Anything. There's even a subreddit.
I don't know what that means. I don't understand how Reddit works.
Messenger board. Basically, giant messenger board.
So what's a subreddit?
So a Reddit. Reddit's the site. A subreddit are the topics on that site.
Okay. And a thread.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. As Michael Towns puts it in the live chat here on twitch.tv/hackthedino, let's put in a fake Easter egg to distract everyone from how broken this game is.
That's really deliberate, though, especially with the monks. Like, that's been...
It's there for a reason.
Yeah, that's there for a reason.
Now, I was doing some reading, and I ran out of time to research it more, but apparently the latest Witcher DLC that came out has some tie to it.
The Witcher? Like, from The Witcher 3?
There was something that came out recently with The Witcher, yeah.
The Witcher 3's DLC, last one was like...
Something's come out for The Witcher lately. I don't know what. I just remember reading the sentence and go, oh, I'll look into that, and I didn't.
Here we go. Is this the subreddit?
Yeah. It's just a messenger board.
Yeah. Underwhelming.
Braden, what are your thoughts on Cyberpunk and FF06B5?
Cyberpunk. I still haven't played it. I will eventually when it's on sale.
Yay. And this mystery?
Oh, I mean, what do the giant fish mean? The big giant hologram fish in the city. What do they mean?
It means this looked cool in Blade Runner, so we're going to steal it.
Yeah. I bet there's just like a texture artist, not texture artist, like a location, like they were building the level and shit, and I bet they just put that there and they thought it looked cool, and now this has happened, and I bet they're all at CD Projekt Red being like,
they have
wish we were not
the monks
crunching
in,
as much,
but they put the monks in,
yeah,
which is
weird.
Very
the monks
specific.
Are a part of the game.
And it's very specific. What if FF means Final Fantasy 6?
Yep.
Back in 5.
Yep, I think you've cracked it. I think that's what it is. CD Projekt Red are doing Final Fantasy 6 remaster.
You heard it here first. Breaking news, 100% yep. accurate.
IGN, print it. GameSpot, you're welcome.
I mean, look, you've printed bigger bullshit. Daily.
Hey.
Sorry, that's more Kotaku.
Oof. Just calling out all the big boys, aren't you?
Yeah, mate.
Fucking now,
come at me.
I did say at the start that these were the 5 biggest undiscovered Easter eggs. I've only done 4. So,
well, the 5th one is the biggest Easter egg. Mate.
It's such a mystery.
If you, the Easter egg, that 5th one, Easter egg for you, find out what it is.
The biggest Easter egg is my head.
Go. What will you will find the 5th Easter egg if you go back and watch every episode of Hack the Dino and like it.
There's only 290 episodes, so have fun that. And as a benefit, I'm in every single one.
I was really hoping someone would do it. Now you've just ruined it.
What?
What? Watch every episode.
No one would do that. Well, you'd be insane to do that.
I wouldn't do that.
And it's not every episode. Brayden, what? When did you join? 38?
Yeah.
Something like that? Yeah. So it's only from 38 onwards.
Okay.
Next Easter egg.
Yes.
The startup for the original Xbox. So in 2021, an anonymous developer who worked on the original Xbox console revealed an Easter egg hidden in the Xbox dashboard. By ripping a music CD to the console and renaming the CD's title to Timmy!
Timmy! Is that like South Park?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Players would unlock a secret credit screen for the members of the Xbox dashboard team.
That's pretty cool.
However...
Oh, whoops.
Because this has been discovered, so this isn't a mystery. I just thought that was a cool fact. Seamus Blackie subsequently tweeted that another undiscovered Easter egg was still waiting to be found.
Ooh.
Blackie wouldn't give much away about the secret, though did reveal that it related to the console's boot animation, but curiously didn't require the player to perform any controller inputs.
Do you reckon this is just a really great way of drumming up some interest in your console?
Maybe. Well, I do know that...
Like 20 years later...
The startup sound, was it you that told me it's just a reverse thunderclap?
It wasn't me, but I didn't tell you that.
I do remember that coming up at some point. I can't remember where it was from, but...
It is the kind of information that Anto probably knows?
Yeah, someone sold it to me. But yeah, it's a reverse thunderclap, like lightning and thunderclap. They just reversed it through and that's the original Xbox.
So this is what you get. So you get the dashboard team.
Yeah, that's it. Pretty cool.
So literally people who only worked on the look of the dashboard? Yep. Is that no other parts of the...
No, just put their own credits in there.
Cheeky bastards. I kind of like that though.
I do like programmers who do that. I mean, that's how the very first Easter egg came about.
That was the guy in the... Adventure. Yeah, Adventure.
Yep.
The little dot. You had to get the little dot.
Get the little dots and then his name appeared.
Yeah, that was it, wasn't it?
Gave himself a credit because game developers weren't given any credit.
Ah.
Much like comic book writers... And artists back in the day. They were never given credit for the comics they wrote.
Stan Lee took it all.
No, this is even before Stan Lee.
Oh.
Like, Stan Lee's the one who
he
started.
He perfected it.
Yeah. Oh, boy, did he. So, Brayden, how much do you know about Stan Lee's Marvel method of writing?
How much of it is his?
So, the Marvel method of writing is the writer, like Stan Lee... would give the artist a page and go, oh, this is what happens in this issue. The artist would then take that single page of dot points.
Yep. And turn it into...
Draw 22 pages of sequential art.
Yep.
And then Stan Lee would come along and write the speech bubbles in. And that's insane. The Marvel method. And then Stan Lee put his name on the cover and said, yep, I wrote this.
Actually insane.
Did you, buddy? Did you? As someone who occasionally writes comics, not a big fan of this. I do full script. Because... anyone can just go, I've got an idea, and then leave it up to the artist to do everything.
Well, I mean, he had to get back to the bathroom with his credit card.
Why? What's he buying in the bathroom, Brayden?
Happiness.
Yeah, a great time.
Why? I don't get it. Why is there an ATM in the bathroom?
Cocaine.
Coke can?
Yes.
I don't think Coke cans were around then.
I'm pretty sure they were, but that's
irrelevant. Why would he need a Coke can in the bathroom?
Coca-Cola
Yeah.
Don't Google it. Why do you need a credit card in the bathroom?
So Stan Lee, you know, he...
Holy shit, Coca-Cola's 137 years old.
And it used to contain cocaine.
And it looks really good for that.
It's good for what ails you.
Wow, shame. You should sell snake oil.
Incidentally, snake oil isn't where that phrase came from. It's people who had oil that they said was snake oil that phrase came from.
So it wasn't actually snake oil.
So snake oil was actually a medicinal thing. It's people making fake snake oil that terminology came from.
That's amazing.
There you go.
Huh.
That's why it was a snake oil.
Surely salesman. Snake oil didn't actually do anything either.
No, of course it didn't. But you know what I mean?
Like, but so they made a fake version of something that didn't do anything.
Correct. Well, back then they thought it did, but then back then they thought swallowing leeches would cure a headache. So
yeah, that's right. There's still people today that think that there was a magical man in the sky that does things too. Sorry, I'm really coming for everyone today. Like, pack your bags. You're going on a guilt trip, fellas.
Last one. Last undiscovered Easter egg. And let's hope this goes for a while because we're way out of time and I didn't prepare enough. The 2113 box from Trials Evolution. So we're all fans of Trials Evolution.
I literally just started playing Trials Fusion.
Right.
With my youngest. And he
having fun?
Freaking loves it, man.
It's great.
Have you so you've played these?
Yes, yeah.
Have you played these, Braden?
Oh, yeah, they're super fun games.
He loves... I took a footage of him. All he likes to do is find out where the... Well, no, he'd like to play the whole thing. But when he finds a place where there's a wrecking ball that comes down, he just likes to get past the wrecking ball, crash to get back to the wrecking ball, to get hit by the wrecking ball, to then crash, to then get back to the... And we'll just get hit by the wrecking ball for like 20 minutes.
Hell yeah. So shortly after the game's release in 2012.
Damn.
Players discovered that a series of planks throughout the physics-based platformer spelled out a cipher, which is what we saw on screen just then, which told players to perform a specific move on the bike, which in turn unlocked a hidden song that contained a secret piece of Morse code. Hang on, that's not it.
This is a very elaborate one.
The code took players to a website with a series of image ciphers and an equation. The answers to them unlock sets of coordinates located in four cities: Helsinki, Sydney, Bath, and San Francisco.
Fuck.
At these coordinates was a chest containing a key alongside a plaque. On the back of each plaque read, "Midday in year 2113, first Saturday in August, one of five keys will open the box underneath the Eiffel Tower." So just in case you were confused by that.
My God.
There was a lot to unpack there.
The developer Red Lynx has arranged for one of the four keys, the fifth one being a digital key unlocked in the next game, Trial Fusion, to open a box underneath the Eiffel Tower 101 years after the game's release.
So in real life?
In real life.
Is there a box there? Can someone go and see it?
I didn't watch it, but there was actually an interview with one of the developers who did it under the Eiffel Tower where they're talking about this thing.
I'm really so.
That is a long game for a what do they call it? A ARG game or something.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Alternate reality.
Yeah, yeah, like
augmented reality.
That's
augmented
a
reality.
Long time. Like, you got to rely on like people's kids to keep.
Yeah, yeah. And the fact that someone's not going to find a box under the Eiffel Tower, just be like, what the hell is this piece of rubbish?
Well, part of me thinks that maybe it'll be in a game.
Yeah. Mm. So like an open world game or something where you could go there.
Well, considering the fifth key was a digital key as well, as opposed to a physical
key.
Was
it an NF key?
You know what that
reminds... Oh, Brayden's coming to play. Look out.
This reminds me of like Ready Player One.
Well, you know, the basic idea behind Ready Player One's pretty cool.
Mm.
The first book wasn't that bad. It was
never read it.
It was good. Popcorn entertainment.
Yeah, the movie's wonderfully entertaining.
Yeah, the book's a lot better than the movie.
I like
that.
Seeing all the pop culture reference stuff. Like, I just enjoy it. It's just a movie that is full of stuff that I grew up with and enjoy.
Yeah, you know the end of the movie, though, where Mechagodzilla's there?
Yeah.
He gets the Iron Giant and they fight?
Yep.
Do you know who was in place of the Iron Giant in the book?
No.
Ultraman.
But he
turned into Ultraman. Yeah, it's Ultraman fighting Mechagodzilla.
Yeah, but Gundam's cooler. An Ultraman.
It wasn't a Gundam. It was the Iron Giant.
No, no, it was Gundam in the end. He came down with the thing and became the... Oh, no, Iron Giant was also there and went across the bridge.
That's right.
But they came down. Remember, one of the guys came down and he had a special thing that allowed him to be a giant robot for like 10 minutes or something.
Yeah, well,
3 minutes.
So that's because in Ultraman lore, you have a limited time to be Ultraman because as soon as the gem starts beeping, you've got like 10 minutes before.
That's what they did.
Back.
It beeped and then he went back. So that was... So the Ultraman reference was... replaced with Gundam. Because there was an Iron Giant in there too.
So that was due to licensing. And had they waited like, I think, 6 months, they would have been able to use Ultraman because the licensing would have settled down. But old Spielberg wanted money.
And I don't think Ultraman would have been as big a hit for a wider audience than Iron Giant and Gundam.
If you haven't watched Ultraman, you should. Do you know why I like Ultraman so much?
I actually don't.
So, all right. So he fights Kaiju, right?
Yeah.
Brayden, can you please,
I didn't know that.
Can you please look up Ultraman versus, I think it's Ultraman Tigger versus Dinosaur Tank.
I don't know anything about Ultraman, actually.
But Ultraman's best fights. So the fighting style, it's basically Godzilla. So they have little miniature towns. They have someone in a kaiju costume and Ultraman in the Ultraman costume. And
Power Rangers.
Basically fights, yeah.
Ultraman Tigger versus who?
Dinosaur Tank.
Dinosaur Tank.
Best kaiju. Then you have Ultraman. And the fighting style that Ultraman uses is a cross between karate and professional wrestling. Can you see why I might be interested in this show?
Not picking up what you're putting down.
No. A giant...
Oh, wait. You like karate and wrestling?
Yes. And giant men fighting giant monsters.
Just giant men.
Yeah. I'm here for it. Ultraman's great. So, basic premise of Ultraman is that... There's Dinosaur Tank.
Oh. Uh-huh.
So, best part about Dinosaur Tank is that he's half a dinosaur, half a tank.
I picked up on that one, Ben.
He's my favorite kaiju because he's half a dinosaur. So the top half's a dinosaur. You may not see the subtlety, but the top half of him is a dinosaur.
The dude's got some cool little arms.
And the bottom half of him is a tank, and his name's Dinosaur Tank.
They didn't want to confuse you at
all. No,
I've
actually got a shirt of Ultraman Tigger fighting Dinosaur Tank.
Why do you keep calling him Tigger?
Because it's different versions of Ultraman. There's Ultraman, Ultraman Tigger, Ultraman Max, Ultraman Binge.
Is the difference
Ultraman
in their helmet?
Yeah.
No, the difference is how well they bounce.
Tigger the wonderful things.
There's Ultraman Eeyore, who just sits around moping around all day.
He's depressed as fuck.
And he goes, roll out, I guess.
My favorite's Mecha Piglet.
Mecha Piglet.
Watch this. Oh, I was about to suplex a dinosaur tank there. But what's he doing? This is an Ultraman fan cast now.
Did he just pick up rocks and he's jamming?
No, he picked up people. He's saving people. And then Dinosaur Tank slaps him with his tail.
Slapped that
actor. The old tail slap to the side of the head. This actually looks kind of cool.
Ultraman is so good. Everyone needs to watch it. It's fantastic. Oh, what a show.
So is Ultraman normal size?
Just very, very quickly, can you look up, while I address that question in our live chat, can you please look up Brutal Ultraman Kills?
Sure.
Michael Towns in the live chat says, have a laser disc of it. Says SA Film Corp on the back. Yes, Michael Towns, I can actually address that. That's called Ultraman Super. So you may remember back in the early 90s, the SA Bank and the Bannon government in Adelaide, South Australia went under, was in deep financial problems. That's because they organized. We're just watching Ultraman chop the head off a kaiju and blood split out everywhere. That is because they organized for a series of Ultraman Great to be filmed in Semaphore.
Amazing.
And it did so horribly bad that it bankrupted the state bank and the government.
Wow.
So King Kaiju actually has one of the helmets that was used on set.
Of course he does.
From that. It's great. Ernie Dingo was in it. We actually had... So King Kaiju, for those of you who don't know, imports kaiju monsters from Godzilla and Ultraman from Japan when he goes over there and brings back and sells them here to collectors. We were at a toy fair and this guy comes up, goes, oh, picks up a kaiju, goes, oh, and he looks at me and Osti and goes, this was me. I was this kaiju. It was the actor who was inside that kaiju seat.
Wild.
And
wow.
Like, King Kaiju ended up speaking to him for half an hour.
You're like, why did you make such a shit film?
And the guy goes, oh, this is amazing. And he just went, oh, take it. It's yours.
Yours. He probably got 20 of them at home. He was that dude.
No, I don't think
he should have got him to sign it.
He was a stuntman there to do a job. Yeah. But yeah, Ultraman. Phew. What a fantastic show that is. And we here at Hack the Dino Gaming Cast, where I reckon we spent about 30% talking about games this show, highly recommend you watch Ultraman and praise, love, and charity to Dinosaur Tank. But make sure when you refer to Dinosaur Tank, you call him Dinosaur Tank. That's how you pronounce his name.
That was very, very wrestler of you.
Well, no, it's me pronouncing his name.
Looking at images of Dinosaur Tank is fantastic.
Dinosaur Tank. So, do you know how many Dinosaur Tank figures I've got in that game?
Is it like, really? I've never seen
one. I've got about five in there.
Is he actually just sitting on a tank?
No, that's his legs. He's a dinosaur and a tank. What are you not getting about this floppy?
It just, I feel like they
half
could
dinosaur, half tank.
I feel like they could have combined the two.
They did. Look, Dinosaur Tank.
You didn't let me finish. Better.
How would you make that perfection better?
Possibly not have him just laying on there like he kind of looks like Eddie Murphy in Trading Places when he's pretending he's got no legs and he's just on a little tray.
But he's not pretending. He has legs. They're a tank.
Why is he not upright?
Why does he need to be upright?
Well, because a dinosaur would be upright.
What dinosaur?
A lot of them.
See? Look, there's his legs. Dinosaur.
Why? He just give him in a cuddle.
He's not. They're locking up.
A Gucci Gucci Goo.
Townsy in the chat. Yo, I made a character real close to that for the second floppy game.
Amazing. If Dinosaur Tank appears in the floppy game, I want to fight him as Ultra Ben.
Boogie board dinosaur. Yeah, he is. He looks like he's like rolling.
Ultra Ben can take on Dinosaur Tank.
It's a bit odd, but like I'm down. I'm down with the sickness. It's good.
That's enough internet for today.
Wow.
What?
I saw that, Braden.
What? I did not.
There was many images. One of them, a little bit odd.
Oh, dear.
You can catch me on Instagram over at Floppy Plays Games. I have not been super active over the last sort of 4 or 5 months, but it is something that I'm trying to get back into again, being more frequent in posting some things that I've procured, you might say. I'm not sure what my last post was. I think it was to do with... Oh, yeah, my last one was just before the last show. I got the Metal Gear Special Missions from...
Metal Gear.
From Savers. Oh. I did have a decent pickup yesterday. I picked up a whole bunch of stuff, actually, which I will put up on my Instagram. But for those of you not in the Discord, I picked up...
Well, if people did want to go to the Discord, where would they go?
Well, you go over to hackthedino.com.
Yeah, press the Discord button. Come join. Jump in.
Dickcord, I called it.
Dickcord.
And you can see I picked up a stack of games. I picked up... Oh, now I can't do it at all. Nothing's working. God damn it. Collecting... No. Fuck. Great airtime here.
Yeah.
Here we go. I picked up a copy of Tony Hawk's Skateboarding on number one, like Pro Skater on one, mm-hmm. on PS1. The Pokemon Moon... wherever it's down there somewhere, Pokemon Moon, one with the steel bookcase in there, and that no one's played that damn game. It's still shrink wrapped inside. I picked up It Takes Two. Can't wait to play that with someone. Not on my own apparently, because can't do that.
Nope.
WWE 2K23, because it had John Cena on the front, and that was cool. I got a copy of Infamous.
Hell yeah.
On the PS3. Dying Light 2 on the PS5. Marvel Guardians of the Galaxy PS5. I got Tiny Tina Wonderland, which I haven't played before. I'm kind of keen to have a look at. And I got two PS2 games. I got Guitar Hero 3 and V8 Supercars.
Hell yeah. V8 Supercars. My dad had a bunch of those games.
For a dollar.
Yeah.
That Braden, checks out. What do you want to plug?
Oh, yeah. Hi. You can... two things. One for fun. One for business.
Okay.
First one, fun. MMT Millennium Movie Talk. It's a movie, TV show, and WWE podcast. We just say that now. Our most recent episodes, Invincible's
me.
Back.
You don't watch AEW.
I know we don't.
That's...
Shush. Maybe one day. Shush. It's too much.
It's not too much. It's much better.
It's too much with WWE. I watch the highlights. Oscars.
We got Will Ospreay versus Bryan Danielson.
We got our Oscars video back from copyright strikes. That's great.
What happened? Why did you get copyright strikes?
Alex showed an entire clip from Poor Things, and it's a whole thing. He won, though. So the whole clip from Poor Things still in there. But Invincible's back. I've watched all Asterix the Ghostbusters movies, and including the new one. And in our most recent episode, we review the new one. I really, really enjoyed it.
Okay, cool.
I highly recommend it. Alex also watched both Roadhouse films.
Oh, you know what? I kind of want to watch that because I really have a soft spot for the OG one.
Oh, okay. Well, are you interested in watching Conor McGregor try to act?
I mean, not at all. He doesn't know. As long as he's there and gets punched by Jake Gyllenhaal, I'm okay with it.
I'm pretty sure that happens.
Yeah.
And no one... Ricky Stenicki is stinky. not great. Also, I just saw Dune Part 2 again today.
I'm seeing it tomorrow.
You're going to love it. It's so good.
It's so good.
But yeah, that's the fun one. And then the business one, which I...
You sound so down, like, oh, the business one.
No, I don't want you to sound down about it, but I wait for the website to load. It's taking a minute. It's taking a hot minute. It's taking a hot second. It's got to get all the way from the Adelaide CBD to here.
What are you Googling, Ben?
Which is a solid...
There was a narrative writer position available.
Ooh. Ben's just job hunting online.
Just popped up in my feed. And I went, oh, well, you know.
You can go over to Greenlight Comics, the website, or the business in Adelaide and Rhondda Mall. And you should come by and check it out. There's some really good books. I've read some really good stuff lately. I finally, because I've been on an X-Men kick, I read House of X, Powers of X. From 2019, when they relaunched all the X-Men stuff by Jonathan Hickman. It's very good. Very, very good. I'm also in the middle of reading Nightwing, the newer stuff from Tom Taylor. And I'm also in the middle of reading Hawkeye by Matt Fraction and David Ayer, which is very good as well. But I do want a feature in here. Godzilla Skate or Die.
By Sydney resident Louis Joyce, friend of mine.
What?
Great dude. Yep.
This is Australian skater punks and Godzilla.
Yep. By an Australian artist, Louis Joyce.
What does that art look like?
Amazing. That's the cover. Really, that's Louis' really art good. Right there.
Really good.
Yeah. Louis is fantastic. He's a massive X-Men fan as well. Cool. You should see his X-Men fan art. It's spectacular.
Oh, I bet it is.
So that is worth putting your name down for because that's sick.
Very cool.
And there's a bunch of other stuff in here as well. Bloodrick and a ton of other really good stuff. Phineas and Ferb. Duke and Cobra Commander coming out.
Nice.
And down here as well, shout out to Doctor Who and Cult of the Lamb.
Cult of the Lamb
is getting a comic series.
Did you play that?
I did not.
Brayden, what are your thoughts on the actress who plays Ruby Rose? Is that her name?
That's the actress's name.
The actress who plays Ruby Rose.
No, who? What? They're in Doctor Who.
Yes.
Ruby Sunday.
Ruby Rose is an actress.
Yeah. Sorry. All right. Anyway,
Ruby Sunday.
She got given the arse. She got fired. Russell T. Davis got fired.
She's out after one season.
Yeah.
Oh, why?
No idea. No one knows why.
I mean,
was she bad in it?
It's not a shock for companions in general. But
No. But like, I mean, considering the first episode of Chuty's Doctor, he had a musical number. So different times for Doctor Who.
It's very different times. The trailer came out. I am liking it, but it's very much leaning into more supernatural stuff.
But on the other hand, it's been revealed Stephen Moffat's back writing at least one episode. Which so
it's pretty wild.
I like Stephen Moffat.
I thought he was fantastic.
He's done some. He's
Matt Smith's
some...
entire run was amazing, and Capaldi was fantastic as well.
But yeah,
Peter,
Cult of the Lamb. Yeah. I highly recommend it.
Done.
Right, I do a little thing called Super Retro Squad, where I take my little GoPro and I go out hunting for video game stuff. And you can join me in a first-person perspective as I dig through all the stuff and try and find all the gold with retro thingies. There's one there from Greg from Toys R Go. I needed a video, so we went in there and recorded one. And yeah, I found a Pokemon game for $6, so that was awesome. Pokemon Sapphire. Good find. So head on over to Super Retro Squad on TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube, and you can see what I find. This is the really long one, Brayden. So these do exceptionally well. One of these videos on Instagram, and for the podcast listeners, there are just basically consoles we find, like Wii's or PlayStations, that have games in them still, and we reveal what games were left in there when we bought the console. One of them's got like 172,000 views.
Because someone pulling out a Mario Kart.
Yep. Don't know.
You really sucked them in, didn't you?
Speaking of sucking people in, we'd like to thank our Patreons.
Sorry.
Floppy, you want to thank our Patreons?
Yes. Thank you to Seth. Thank you to Ash Knight. Thank you to Karen.
Excuse me, Seth likes you when you say his name.
I can't even read it from here because I'm reading on Ben's computer. I'm sorry.
Sutek.
Seth, a.k.a. Sutek. Thank you. Thank you to Ash Knight, Karen Knight, Dylan the Villain, Triple Indie, Mike Towns, Game Boy Dan. Thank you, guys, because without you, that light and that light and that light not be on.
No.
Or exist.
All these.
No, with these mics. It is you guys that allow us to keep doing the things that we enjoy doing and that you begrudgingly watch for some unknown reason.
But until next time, remember... Bum 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 bum.
Enough now, we can stop. They've stopped watching.